Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Is your desk a mess?
Yes, that's why I'm sitting here.
Well, you got to stop that because my mentor told me you cannot make money in a mess.
That's my mentor told me there. If your desk is a mess, there's no place for money to land.
That's right.
I totally believe that. Listen, I've got money. I've got enough room for money to land. Just saying.
What'd you say? You just carved out just a little piece for the checks, right?
Well, I carved out a nice size piece for the checks. I wanted a lot of checks.
Right. Because you know what, Brains? Today on the Edge, we have Jean Coombs. We're going to talk about money. I questioned her before in the green room. I asked her, she said, you know, she's going to teach people about a millionaire mindset, money mindset. I asked her, was she a millionaire? You know, and we're not going to disclose her finances, but she's walking the walk, okay, as she talks the talk. Because that's what coaches and mentors are. I need to see it exuding out of you. You know, you're not going to sell me a bill of goods. No, because I'm going to check you out. I want your authenticity, especially when you're dealing with my business. And that's her field of expertise, is working with small business owners at JeanCoombs.com. We're going to talk about that. She's got 37 years of experience. Who does that? You know, that's a lot. That's a lot. And she's the author of not one, but two books, Brains. So we're going to get deep, dirty, and I'm going to ask her some fun questions, okay? Because she's living in Illinois. I want to see what's going on in Illinois. Because
You do not want to know that, right? What's going on in Illinois?
I want to know what's going on in Illinois and see how we might be able to reach some people there to be some impactors or influencers.
Okay.
You know, because the only thing is you hear is bad press.
Right.
But that's not true. And I'm so sick of that. And that is what I'm going to be focusing on my show, is that I want to hear some good stuff. You can turn on the mainstream media and get all the nastiness all day long. I know my mother used to say, Wolf Blitzer's on and it's breaking news. I said, Mama, that was the same news that broke at 8 o'clock. We're just ingraining it in your brain. But when you come to a podcast, you want independent sources of information. When you do great reads and get great books, you want independent sources from real life people that are on the ground doing what they do. Jean, baby, what do you do?
I help small business owners turn around their business and increase their revenue fast.
She said fast. All right.
Fast.
So what does that look like in this climate? Because everything is moving at a snail's pace with the great resignation. Nobody wants to go back to work.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Well, I have thoughts on that too, but we won't talk about those thoughts.
Why? I want a little bit of that thought.
All right. Well, my thoughts on that is it's a lot of people don't want to go back into a real office. They want to work from home. If this is working for your company, yeah. But I do think that there's a reason that we connect with people. And when you're working at home all the time, I have a son who works at home all the time, has for the last 2 years, and literally doesn't go anywhere, right? He's 30 years old. I'm worried that he's literally becoming a recluse, right?
Right.
So that's one piece of it, is the fact that they don't have to connect with other people. The other piece of it is in those lower paying jobs, right? The minimum wage jobs, we don't have enough people going back to work because they were quite frankly thrilled to death to have the government pay them more money to stay home and not go to work.
Yes, and no, because that's only going to last a limited amount of time until they get their tax returns and realize that that's all taxable income. Don't get it twisted, Brains. Okay, they're not giving you nothing. Okay, and you know what it does too, Brains? I want you to consider working from home. It has impacted my health. It has impacted my health because I'm ingrained in this cotton picking device. My ankles went to cankles. Circulatory problems. I'm feeling, you know, tenderness. I'm not getting up and walking around and moving. So I just went to Daddy Jeff. That's what we call Amazon.
Oh.
caught one of those peddlers. So then I peddler and I've set a timer. I get up from my desk. I go have my lunch. I go for a walk. I take a break and I give myself office hours. That's it. And after that, that's that. There's only so much money that you can make. And I try to do it in the time period between international and domestic, you know, time changes. So I get what you're saying. But, you know, lower wage people, or, you know, as some people like to refer them as W-2 employees, I got a lot of respect for them because they're doing jobs that other people do not or don't want to do, or they think that they have risen above. But a lower paid individual has got many side hustles because they know that one revenue stream won't work. Small businesses need to understand that too, that you need to have more than one revenue stream. Wouldn't you agree?
I think if you want to be a millionaire, you better have at least seven.
That's right.
Right. You better have at least seven revenue streams. And I do. And listen, I don't diss W-2 people, right? I was a W-2 for the first 26 years. Well, not 26, but I became self-employed when I was 26. But this is the way to go, right? If you don't want to work for somebody else and you want to have a great resignation, start doing what you love to do and help other people do it. What do you have that you can offer other people?
Right.
Right. And then how you figure out what the market needs and you fulfill a place in that market, and you will never work another day in your life because you'll love what you do.
You love what you do.
Love what I do.
And creativity is so important, but you've got to stay consistent.
Yep.
You got to pay your taxes. You got to be a good bookkeeper. This is not your own personal slush fund that you can get some little money under the table. You know, you got a cupcake business. You know, you make the best cupcakes in Illinois and you're selling them everywhere, but you don't have any documentation of how much, what your costs and expenses are, even know exactly who your clients are. Building those relationships. You can have the smallest business. I think back to the day of Avon, Mary Kay, Tupperware. Those companies taught you how to manage a business. They were home-based businesses. Inventory, booking your clients. All these things are important in a small business. Now, in the world of small business, what is that in relationship to dollar amount? What do they consider a small business?
I think it's under 50 million is considered small business.
Under 50 million?
Under 50 million is considered small business, right?
Shut the front door.
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing change business.
My sweet spot is that business owner between 50 and 2 million. That's my sweet spot, that where I help them go to that next level.
All right. So
I'm sorry, 50,000 and 2 million. Let me say that.
50,000. I was getting ready to say, because, you know, you got a whole lot of people that's out of that league.
Yeah.
And the tax liability, I had a meeting with my team. I called them all in. I felt like a boss too. I said, I had my financial advisor, I had my CPA, I had my mentor, I had them all on a Zoom call, and they were looking at me, and I said, you know, you guys work for me. And they were looking, you're damn right, I pay you, you work for me. I need some strategies, because I wrote a monster check this year to the IR pest, and I tell you, I was just beside myself. They don't give you the strategies. But if you're in that bracket between 50,000 and 2 million, you know, you're the middle class at this point.
Yes.
You're the buffer between everybody. How do we survive? How do we keep that going?
Well, I think that part of it is you're absolutely right about that. That's middle class. And the middle class keeps shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, right? And especially now with the way the economy is going, look, we got high inflation. We have supply chain issues. We can't get baby formula, right? This does not look like it's going to get settled anytime soon, right? So if you want to continue and stay in business, man, you better have some strategy around it. And you better know exactly what you need to be doing in order to build your business and not just try to maintain your business, because the inflation is going to eat that right up.
And you can't be using the magic 8-ball, because I watched your video. I love that. Tell my brains a little bit about the magic 8-ball.
oh, I found these little magic eight balls. They were about this big around, little tiny itty bitty ones, right? And I'm like, oh, what can I do with those? They're super cute. And so I'm like, well, you know what? So many people use a magic eight ball strategy for their business. It's like magic eight ball. Should I make phone calls today? Doubtful, right? You turn it over and it says doubtful. So they're like, nope, I won't do that today. And it's really fear, right? The magic eight ball strategy is about the fear you have in your business that you're scared to do what you need to do in order to bring on new people to work with, right? Well, you have some leads. Are you following up with those leads? Are you calling those leads? Are you having conversations, not sales conversations like buy my stuff, but conversations like, oh my gosh, I see what you need, right? Here's what you need. This is where you're lacking at in your business. I have something that I could help you with. Would you like to hear more about it? It's not about shoving it down their throat.
Absolutely. Right?
It's about just showing people how you can help them. If they're not interested, you just say to yourself, next, right?
Well, you know, I got a different philosophy because the word okay. no spelled backwards is on.
Okay.
Okay. On to the next time. Yep. Circle back around. They may not have had the money to invest. They may not have had the time to pay attention. They may not have had the resources. They may not even really be serious. Okay? Mm-hmm. You have to pre-qualify. Ask them some key questions and sell to value. What do people need? It's not necessarily what you want to give them.
100%.
You know, it makes you more creative and innovative if you listen to what they need and try to tailor your business to that environment because it's new. And close on the business. Just because you ask a person, oh, you know, Gene, do you, you know, can I show it to you? Okay. But then you ask at the end, can I sell it to you? Are you ready to close on this? Are you ready to make a move? Because all of that is wasted conversations if you don't close a deal. Your thoughts? 100%.
Yep. I agree with you 100% about following up on them, right? And keeping them in your pipeline, right? I didn't say get rid of them. I just said, move on to the next person, right? If they're not ready, you move on to the next person, but you're right. You absolutely have to make an offer. You have to have an ask, right? If you don't ask, the answer will always be no. Always.
You know, they think that it's a giveaway.
Right.
And there are some giveaways. There's some trade-offs. Brains, it's not always about the dollar and cents. Sometimes there's great barter opportunities. You might be able to be on stage at someone's big event. You might be able to get an ad in their paper. You might be able to trade for, you know, marketing and publicity platforms. You might be able to trade for some great jewelry. You never know what the need is. So leave your options open. A lot of times, you know, money can be a distractor. The taxes on that. You're waiting for someone to come in and close on that. It's not the right dollar amount that you needed. You know, a lot of times I see people, I have a real estate friend of mine. I send her great referrals all the time. She doesn't send cash. She sends gift cards. You know, there's an option
that's
there.
Cash, right? That's like cash. So well, I do.
You don't pay taxes on that. I thought that's kind of like right. a different kind of thing. You know, I don't know.
Well, I really do talk to my clients about not bartering because they can't pay their mortgage. They cannot send their kids to school. They can't go on vacation with gift cards. Not that those aren't appreciated. And I know some of them use them as referral fees and things like that. Mm-hmm. I always send my referrals a check, right? I want them to have the cash to do with what they want. But I want them to understand that there is a usually in my line of work, there's not usually it's not usually always an equal barter, right? So barter really works if it's really dollar for dollar value is when it works. If it's not working and it's not a dollar for dollar value, somebody always comes out a loser. And I always like to make sure that everybody has, everything you do, everything I do should be a win-win opportunity for everybody. So if it's not a win-win, I'm not interested in it. I'm not interested in it for my clients. Right. And I'm not interested in it for the person that might not be the winner.
Of the winners. You're a toughie like me. And you know what? People can't determine my win. Like you say, it's a win-win, but I determine what the win is, You don't determine it. Again, it's a negotiation. That's where people fall short. Providing options. Okay. Negotiation is key. A lot of women, I find, have a challenge with that. You know, it's got to be co-signed by somebody else. I've got to think about it. I can't make a decision right now. That's fear. You know, when you go to Vegas and you put that money in that slot machine and pull it down, you think that you're going to win. You have to have a winner's mindset. You've got to have that winner mentality. That's very, very important.
I had a woman say to me the other day, I talked to her about working with me, and she said, I need to talk to my husband and see if he will allow it.
Ouch!
Like, what? This is why you need to work with me to start with, right? The fact that you would even think that you need to, that somebody could allow you to build your business.
I don't like the word allow.
I don't either.
I do like the consultation. I've been married to Mr. Magnificent 37 years. And you know, when I get into a big thing, I run it by him.
Absolutely.
And you know what? And if he says no, and I still feel it's a good idea, I go with my own intuition, because you know women are smarter.
That was a high five, by the way.
Exactly. You know, so I will go ahead and do it anyway. However, there are a lot of situations where people have not been taught about money management. Right. And if the deal goes south, Gene, you got to be accountable for that. Then you got a whole nother kerfuffle in the household.
Yeah.
So I get that. But if you are in business, you have to be a risk taker. That's why you're in business.
Exactly.
And it's going to be ebbs and flows, correct?
And wealth rewards risk.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right. That's right. So you got to do it. You got to feel the fear and do it anyway. Tell us what's inside the pages of your books. I see two books of yours back there. I want to talk about those.
Well, okay. So, you know, This one was super fun. FUPS, it stands for Franchisee Screw-Ups. Because I started...
Hold it up again so we can get a good look at it. Yes, there you go.
The Franchisee Screw-Ups that can cost you thousands. I wrote this one for franchise owners. I was a franchise owner from 2000. I own 2 Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factories.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, so those are like independent candy stores or in the mall or something?
They're in the mall. The first one I bought was a street front. Both of them that I bought them were bankrupt. I wasn't smart enough to realize that you shouldn't buy a bankrupt business. I'm just like, I can do it. I can fix it. And I actually turned that one around within 12 months. And then 4 years later, I bought a second bankrupt franchise, the same one down the street from my other one, and turned that one around in 12 months. So now
wasn't it fun though?
You know what? The first 2 weeks after I bought the first one, I literally was sitting in the back room in the kitchen on a milk crate, crying my eyes out, because I'd never worked retail. Not even as a kid, right?
Really? Oh, I love retail.
It's a grind. Yeah. And it's that job is very labor intensive. We made everything from scratch for the most part. We bought some candy that just went into the cases, but for the most part, we did a lot of making things in the store. But after 2 weeks, I was crying my eyes out thinking, my kids are never going to go to college. I have just made the worst financial decision of my life. We just built our new dream home, and I was going to lose that because I took a loan out on it to buy that first candy store. And I literally spent about 20 minutes just ugly crying like that. Up and down your nose.
Oh God, the big ugly cry, girl. Oh Lord.
Big ugly cry, right?
You were in the villains.
And kind of had to release all of that, right? That was before I could get my ass up off that milk crate and go to work. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I knew I had a plan for it. And then it was just a matter of turning it around, but I didn't take any extra money out. I didn't have any money for marketing or for advertising, right? So everything I did, I had to really create myself with no cost marketing strategies, which is exactly what I did.
Mm. Right.
But I always made it fun, and I always amused myself. I wasn't doing anything if I couldn't amuse myself.
Right.
So if I'm not having fun, nobody else is having fun. So I wanted to make sure I was having fun doing it, so they would have fun, customers would have fun coming in there. And I just had, when I look back, like, I don't miss it one little bit. not even a little, right? But when I look back on it, it is with love and with fun and with a smile, because I know that I created jobs for people. I know I created a valuable asset within the communities that those stores were in. And I know that we helped create goodwill around all of the volunteer work and things I was doing at the time within the villages to basically promote my business, right? You wouldn't join a volunteer thing if you didn't have an opportunity to help other people. But you also, in a business situation like that, you want to make sure you're benefiting from people knowing about your business.
Exactly. And you know what? And I always tell people, when you volunteer, that's a two-way street. You better believe that when I'm volunteering somewhere, I'm working the room.
Yes.
I'm networking.
Yes.
Because nobody works for free. Right. Everybody's got some sort of ROI.
Right.
You know, you're just sitting there just, oh, okay, well, here, let me pass out these pamphlets or whatever. No, meet and greet. Hi, how you doing? Look at people's badges. Who are they? How could they be a valuable resource to me? You know, how can I provide them some chocolate? Maybe you're volunteering and all of your chocolates are in their swag bag. There's always an opportunity to win. So be looking for that, brains, you know, be looking for that. And I love what you said. You did provide jobs for people.
Yeah.
You were the mentor for many. You probably didn't even realize that a
I purchased a
franchise.
I didn't realize it then, right? Because when I purchased that franchise, like I said, I'd never worked for anybody but myself. But I did. I had a couple kids along the way, one of them, including my daughter, who came to me as teenagers, who literally let me mentor them. They were involved in what I had to say. They liked what I wanted to teach them about mindset, about hard work, about a win-win. It always has to be a win-win. Don't steal from other people as far as their time or their talents, right? Always make it that every deal should be a win-win. And one of those kids has gone on, he's about 32 now. He's gone on to create he's a personal trainer now.
Wow. Right.
And my daughter is a operating room nurse. And one of the other girls she works for a hospital up in Chicago also. So I do have some really great success stories for the kids who wanted more than just a job from me. And those are the ones I will tell you, there are people I don't even remember who worked for me, but the ones who wanted more from me than just a job got absolutely so much more than they bargained for.
You know, and when you look back on it, there's people, I go places sometime, they go, I was at a play with my daughter last night, and I saw one of her old classmates who's in theater now too. And she said, oh, Mrs. Mahoney, she says, I love you so. Every time I see you, she said, you know, you looking like brand new money. And that always encouraged me to, you know, go and you know, step up my game and not always wearing these flip-flops and sweatpants and all that. She said, I think about you. And that, you know, your personal image.
Yeah.
You don't know what you do or say that can impact another person's life. Let's talk about the second book, How to Think Like a Millionaire in 30 Days.
Why changing your thoughts daily is essential to achieve the success you desire, right? I will tell you, this book is based off of Earl Nightingale's book, The Strangest Secret. Mm. And this is a workbook. So part of an Earl Nightingale's book is in the back of it because it's in public domain. But this is really a mindset book. I am totally a believer in the law of attraction, right?
Oh, me too. Me too.
And I understand that vibrational level. I understand how that works in your business. And when I created this program, it came from listening to the recording. I was having a problem with my youngest son, who was just a hard teenager to raise. And I started listening to that recording. And on the 16th time through, I heard him say again, but it hit me differently, you know, if you don't believe this is true, create a 30-day test for yourself. But he didn't tell you really how to create the 30-day test. So I literally thought, I'm going to create a 30-day test to go along with this book. So that's what this is. This is the 30-day test.
Wow.
For my version of the third. I've never seen anybody else create a 30-day version of this, of The Strangest Secret for it. But this is my version of it. And the first person I put through this program, she was another Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory owner who was struggling in Oklahoma. And she told me she desperately needed $6,000 that month, right? It's a long story. I won't go into that. But so I couldn't even charge her the $47 I was charging for that program, right? So I couldn't, because I'm like, well, what if this doesn't work? And then I've taken $47 and she needs 6,000, right? So we increased her sales a bit, a couple thousand dollars for the month, but that's sales, right? That's not what she brings home that she actually needs in profit. So it's so funny because she did the work. She did all of the work. And about day 27, she gets a letter in the mail from an attorney. And she thought she was being sued, so she didn't open the letter. And then she's like, no, I'm doing this program. Let me just look at it. Let's figure it out. Let's get it done. Whatever it's going to be, let me just hear about it. She opens the letter, and it is from an attorney who wants to lease. Now, I didn't know they had all this land, but they wanted to lease mineral rights from 80 acres of land that they had for something crazy like $650 an acre, right? It ended up being about $52,000-$53,000. She ended up bringing in $60,000 that month, right? And when she called me, she was so excited. She says, you were not going to believe it. I have brought in $60,000. I went back and I checked my card because I make them write a card of what they want. And she said, I thought I put my decimals point in the wrong place, but I didn't. I still said $6,000, but I got $60,000 this month. And that is just one of the many, many stories that people have over the years have told me. Last year, 2 years ago, 2020, I have a client who's a estate planning attorney. She's never done more than $50,000 in a month at that point. She comes into the program, she sets her goal at $95,000 that month, right? She goes and looks at, she wants to buy a new BMW. So she goes to the BMW dealer. She sits in the car. She gets all the information about it, right? What do you think she did that month, right? $96,000 she earned that month. So
let me tell you a couple that happened to me.
Yeah.
That was crazy good. I hadn't worked for this company in 20 years, Brains, 20 years. And I was broke as a joke. So I wrote myself a check for $5,000. I put the check in my purse. I'm not going to give you all the particulars. They ended up sending me a check for $46,000.
What?
$46,000. And they told me when I'm of retirement age, don't forget to collect my pension. And I hadn't worked for them in 20 years. My daughter's car broke down. I'm a manifester, just like you. The law of attraction, vibration. I told her, I said, baby, I'm creating an audience. I'm recruiting an audience for Let's Make a Deal. Put on a crazy costume and come on with me. I said, your car just broke down. I said, you're going to win a car. You're going to win a car today. She was like, I'm sure, Molly. Okay, all right, well, come on. Well, needless to say, she came on with a brand new Jetta.
Holy cow.
A brand new Jetta. And you could have picked her up with a poopy scooper. I told her, so don't tell me about that. Now look, Brains, this is not abracadabra. This is not magic. You got to put in the work, baby.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay, don't think that, you know, we had to come up with the idea first, but already create it as like a memory in your mind that has already happened. Like you said, sit in the car, sit in the BMW, pretend you roll the windows down, turn the radio on. There's a lot of things that you can do to set your mind, because you're telling your subconscious mind, just reel this in, okay? I've planted the seed. I'm cultivating the soil, but just reel it in. And you cannot be afraid. However, I'm a realist too. You can manifest some BS too.
Yes.
With some negativity. With that, I can't, I do, I'm afraid, I don't like, you know, I'm the victim, blah, 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 blah. Well, the subconscious mind is reeling that in too. Am I right, Jean?
You are 100% right. You get what you think about. That's the strangest secret. We become what we think about.
And you can turn it around. And that's even with self-esteem. Yes. Extract business for a minute. You know, I had a conversation with somebody, and I know they're probably crunchy with me right now, but I had to give it to them 110%. That nobody likes me. They're always arguing with me, and I hate this person and this person, that person. Well, maybe it's something that you're exuding. You know? Yeah. Oh, I hate to take a picture because you don't like the image that you see. Okay? So you have to really be gentle with yourself. Know what you want. Don't overthink it. Write 2 or 3 action items to see if they come true and then add to the list. Don't have a laundry list of 20 things and you achieve nothing. Right, Jean?
Absolutely. Right? You better know what you want and specifically what you want.
Specifically. Not Pacific. That's an ocean brains. Specific. Right. Specifically what you want.
Right.
So what are you doing there in Illinois for fun and recreation? I want people to know you intimately.
Well, it's so funny you said that because the last two years have been, listen, the pandemic was really, really awful. And it was really, really good for some businesses. And mine was one of them. Mm-hmm. And like you, I planted myself in my chair and I was there for 12 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So this year I've kind of deemed this of the year of fun, right? I want to get back into having fun. So I'm going to tell you, it's a secret. So I know he's in there. I'm going to tell you what I'm doing for my husband. We were supposed to go to Italy in 2020 for our 40th anniversary.
I'm going to meet you there because I'm going too. We were supposed to be there in March of 2019. Let's see, was it 2019?
Yeah.
And the pandemic started. And it was all 2020. Crazy. 2020. And it was all crazy. So you're going to Italy? Now, are you
doing... No, we were going to go. We were going to go in June of 2020, right? When the pandemic started, our anniversary is in June. So that was the year of our 40th anniversary. So we were going to go to Italy for our 40th anniversary.
Okay.
But this year I am taking him on a, it's going to sound stupid, but it's so fun for him. It is a 2-night, we're going to Florida and they've got, Disney has this new Star Wars hotel, right? It's like, it's costing me $7,000 for two nights.
What?
But it's an immersive experience. Like you are in the movie. It is all immersive, right?
Oh my God. And that's his thing. He loves Star Wars.
You know what? I love that I married a geek because he's kind of geeky. And that was the second movie that we saw when we were dating.
Oh.
And we saw it like 10 times because he's a geek like that.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that he's so excited about this trip, right? Oh, he wasn't super excited about Italy. The only reason I wanted to go to Italy, 20 years ago, he said, if you never make me go to Olive Garden again, I'll take you to Italy. And I was just collecting on that promise.
Right. Well, you know what? I have that on my life list. And my daughter is a Disney enthusiast. This is, you know, the first quarter of the year, and she's been there 40 times. 40 times. They know her by name. She says, Mommy, it's the happiest place on earth. She's a LARPer. She does Comic-Con. Yeah. So she's geeky too.
Yeah.
And my husband, I'm a geek. Here I am. I wear S on my chest because I got superpowers. Okay.
Absolutely. Woo!
Yeah. Yeah. So I totally get it. But to have an alter ego, to be able to set yourself out of what we consider the norm is huge.
Right.
Because you've got to be able to have that conversation in your head with that board of directors, those brains. And it can't just be one person.
Right.
You know, and with small businesses, the same way. You have to have a team.
Yeah.
You got to have a team to come together. You may not be good at accounting. You better find somebody. You may not be good at marketing. You better find somebody. And visibility is key. If people don't know that you exist with marketing and promotion, be it a flyer up in the local coffee shop. You know, let people know that you exist. Get out there, do podcasts, do interviews, do Facebook Lives. You have to do it. And people, you have to understand that Facebook was not designed for marketing and promotion. That's not what Zuckerberg's original intention was. It was for to be social, communicate, talk to mom and dad when you're in college, maybe, you know, find out what the next frat party is. It was not designed for your book. It was not designed for your business. It wasn't designed for your... Girl, I was seeing those women doing those jewelry. You remember they were doing the jewelry? They were on live for about an hour. They had their own mini QVC. They cut all that out. Then you wonder why the algorithm is bad. But also collecting data. Back up your data, brains. Back up your information. Have emails. Make personal phone calls. Talk to people outside of social media. Because when they decide to flip the switch, you've lost everything.
Yes. Yeah, you've got to figure out a way to get those people from online to offline. But I think that there's a way people are doing it now that is not really, number one, it's just awful, right? So whoever came up with this strategy and sold it to everybody, they're probably a multimillionaire, but it's really a bad way of doing business where they just reach out and they become your friend. They send you a friend request. And then it's like, hey, April, would you like to buy my new weight loss thing? Here it is right here. And it's like, nobody wants to do business like that, right? Nobody wants to, you don't know me. And then it's like me calling you up and going, April, I can help you make a lot of money. Let's go. Right. You don't do business that way. Nobody wants to be hit up for business that way.
Yes and no, cause I'll do a cold call, I'll do a cold call,
but I won't do it like that.
Yeah. And I'll tell some people, hey, I want to talk to you first because I may not want your business.
Right.
You may not be somebody I want to do business with, but I don't know until I make the introduction. And I think back to the days of the yellow pages and the white pages. That's what marketing was at that time. That was what sales was. You would go and you start at A and you get to AP. And then the next day you'd be, in the next B. That was how people marketed. That's how they connected with you. Right. Social media. I look at people's profiles. I look at who's friends with who. Am I traveling in the same circle of influence? Are these movers and shakers? You put your information out there. You put your profile out there because you want people to see who you are, what you do, and what you're about, and potentially do business with you. So I got a little different strategy on that because I'm going to check you out. And there's all different platforms from LinkedIn to Facebook to Twitter to Instagram. I'm going to look at you on different platforms because I want to see who you're dealing with. What I don't like is people that tag me in their posts. You're trying to piggyback on the people that are in my group. I don't like that. I don't know you. I don't have a relationship with you. Right. And when automatically join my group, I'm a leader, baby. I'm not a follower.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to go in. I'm going to check it out because, again, during a previous administration, and during the pandemic, people rose to the surface and you saw really what they were and how ugly they could be and the people that they hang around with. So I'm looking at that too. Gene, you might be a great person, but you might be hanging with some crazies. I don't want my name associated with that because birds of a feather sometimes flock together.
Yep.
So you have to be careful in the social media world. And I'm not going to fight with you on social media. I'm not going to have no whole bunch of conversations with you back and forth. Click unfriend, block, and keep it moving. I'm going to let you stay in your space. But all that trolling, because the cancer culture is strong these days. So you have to be careful in this social media world. So let me get back to asking you some good questions. Can you cook a mean pot of chili?
Hell yeah, I can.
Yeah? All right. So what is one of your secret ingredients for your chili?
My favorite ingredient is tomatoes. I love tomatoes, right? I know that's not a secret spice or anything.
It depends. Right? Are you using tomato sauce, paste,
crushed tomatoes? Like crushed tomatoes, right? Oh. I really love a good chili, a tomatoey chili. Yeah. So yeah. And beans.
My
right?
secret tomato recipe. Is some cumin.
Love cumin in my chili. Yeah.
Yeah. It just kicks it up a notch. It is so good.
Yeah.
If you were an appliance in the kitchen, Gene, what would you be?
I would not be in the kitchen. And when my youngest was 21 and I decided I was really going to go for this and start this business from what I'm doing now, I kind of told my husband, I'm like, look, I'm not going to cook as much. This is not what I want to do. I spent the first 30 some years taking care of you and the kids. And now this is my time. It's my turn, right? It's my turn to get up every day and do what I want to do and build the business I want to build and So that's what I do. So if I were going to be an appliance, my favorite appliance would be my iPad. I can find anything. Yeah. I can find a recipe should I want to cook.
Absolutely.
Right. I can find anything I want to know. I can look up, I can order anything I want to order. That would be my favorite appliance. Yeah. So sorry, I didn't have a kitchen one for you, but
that's all right. I'd be the refrigerator, because I just like to chill. I just like to chill. And I did the same thing. I hired a cleaning service. Mm-hmm. Now it's just me and Mr. Magnificent. And I didn't think that my house was dirty, because it's not, you know, there's not dishes and all that. And I clean up every day. Baby, those two queens came in here. And I was like, wow, they were in here for like 3.5 hours. And I was like, what did you do? They dusted the blinds and the floors and all that. Well, needless to say, I extracted getting some other luxuries. And now they are full time.
Yep.
They are part of the team, because it feels so good to sit back on, you know, in the patio, in that lounge chair with a nice libation in my cup and somebody else clean my house. So when you get to that point, Brains, yep, where you can decide where you want to have your luxury, be it go to Disneyland, be it go to Italy, you know, buy you a new iPad, build your business, the business that you want, manifestation, you know, you are living a first world life.
Yeah.
And you better thank your lucky stars.
I think you should, your business should create your lifestyle, right?
It should.
So my business totally creates my lifestyle. Absolutely. That I want. Yeah.
And in closing, beautiful Jean, what do you want your legacy to be, baby?
I want my kids to know that their mom didn't quit at 53. Mm-hmm. She worked every day of her life doing what she loved till the day she died.
To the day that she died.
Yeah.
That's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, tell my Brains how you are living right now and where to find you so that they can work with you, so that they can get their head together.
Well, you know what? I don't even want to tell them how to work with me, but find me, Jean at jeankuhn.com, JeanKuhn.com. And there's some freebies there on my website. Take some freebies, see what you want, schedule a call if you'd like to talk about how you could turn around your business or whatever business question you have, right? I'm not here to sell anybody anything. I'm here to help people get what they want out of their life and their business.
Look at that, Brain. She is a giver.
I'm totally
a giver. Beginning to end. Thank you so much for giving us great advice and giving me your time here on The Edge. Brains.
April, thank you.
Okay, I'm trying to sell you something. I'm trying to sell you an opportunity to listen to this great podcast. Okay. Go in. It is absolutely free to subscribe, to like, to love, to share. Share this information about Jean. Share this information about, you know, different aspects of your life, how to manifest the right way and have the right mindset when you do it. Thank you so much. I look forward to talking to you again in the future. All right.
Thank you.
Bye, Brains.